Good day, good people. The most beautiful day to each of you. I'm Brother Robert Farrell, and welcome to Contemplative Inner Being's Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, so we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us any Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central here on Crowdcast, and that way you too can become part of the conversation that happens near the end of the program. Whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you for being part of Wisdom Wednesday and Contemplative Inner Being. If you will, let me know in the chat section that you can hear me okay. And if at any time there is an audio or video issue, just drop a note in the chat section and we'll pause to get that corrected. Friends, what is wisdom? Wisdom isn't knowing more. It's actually knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to those deeper parts of yourself, the depths of your intellect, your will, your emotion. Yes, open to the ground of wisdom, which is transformation of the human heart and consciousness. Today we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations on this topic of shadow work. In each of those sections will be followed by a minute of silence where you are invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, rest. These are our watchwords to enter into contemplative practice. Resonate. Does something connect with you? And that might be symbolized by a single word or a phrase that you hear. Reflect, to meditate with images and thoughts. Respond, you can respond in many different ways. For example, by journaling, by prayer, or by body movement. And rest, simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. After that, we're going to close with a spiritual practice and then enter into a group dialogue. Our theme today is shadow work. So with an open heart and a calm, centered presence and a gentle breath, let us begin. Our shadow is what we refuse to see about ourselves and what we don't want others to see. We find in our shadow what our ego deems negative. And we may also find in the shadow good parts, positive dreams, capacities for hope and creativity that we have left to languish. Sometimes it is the shadow part that saves our lives, that points the new direction. And shadow work gradually detaches us from our diligently constructed personas. The more we have cultivated and protected a chosen persona, the more shadow work we're going to need to do. So we need to be especially careful of clinging to any idealized role or self-image. These are huge personas to live up to. They trap many people in lifelong delusion that the role is who they are and who they are only allowed to be. The more we are attached to and unaware of such a protected self-image, the more shadow self we will likely have. Our self-image is not substantial or lasting. It is simply created out of our own mind, our own desire, and our own choice, and everybody else's preferences for us. The movement to mature wisdom has much to do with necessary shadow work and the emergence of healthy self-critical thinking. The ego is that part of the self that wants to be significant and central and important by itself, apart from anybody else. It wants to be both separate and superior. And it is defended and self-protective by its very nature. It must eliminate the negative to succeed at this. And the shadow self is not of itself evil. It just allows us to do evil without recognizing it as evil. In fact, we often believe that we're doing something good. That's the power of the shadow. And on a cultural level, shadow means what our group, our tribe, our religion, our political party deems negative, out of bounds, to be shunned, to be improved, or to be punished. Even religion often cannot see its own shadow and then projects it elsewhere. So when the shadow part is not faced, it goes unconscious and it lives there. The cause of our unrecognized and fully operative evil is our egocentricity, not our weaknesses. The root cause is always our radical egocentricity, and it avoids its own conversion. We can't really get rid of the shadow. We can only expose its game. And remember that anything that is exposed to the light turns into light itself. So let us step into the silence. Peer into the darkness of the shadow. Resonate, reflect, respond, rest. Friends, the shadow is our personal unconscious, that part of our mind that is behind or beneath our conscious awareness. And the shadow holds the key to removing inner obstacles that block us from finding the treasures of our life. Shadow work is like the process of developing in which our feelings, dreams, and images come back to life. And our images of and associations with aging remain outside of our awareness. They're dormant in the dark room. And then we don't even notice that we fail to notice them. And when we learn how to establish a conscious relationship with those parts of ourselves that are outside of our awareness, we can attune to our many inner voices and detect which of those can be guides for us and which can sabotage our dreams. Through shadow work, we can learn to slow down, to turn within with curiosity, and open to what's calling to us without dismissing it, and without being taken over by it. And as we age, we come to expect various forms of half-heartedness and deceit and vanity or even illusion from ourselves. But now we can see through them, which destroys most of their game and power. Now, usually everybody else can see our shadow, so it's crucial that we learn what everybody else knows about us except us. And we can draw on the wisdom of the Hebrew prophets who look to the positive and negative. The Hebrew prophets are in a category of their own. They were free on one side to love their tradition and on the other to criticize it at the same time, which is a very rare art form. It is a great sign of love to criticize the flaws of what we love. The Hebrew prophets were radical precisely because they were traditionalists. And friends, the modern church's sanctification of the status quo reveals that we have not been formed by the prophets and scriptures. Remember, institutions always want loyalists and company men. We don't want people who point out the shadow side. But Scripture reminds us that the prophetic gift is the second most important charism for building up of the community. So healthy criticism comes from a primary positive encounter with divine reality. And Scripture amazingly models the need to incorporate the negative, is much different than trying to eliminate it. And the positive energy is the overriding experience. So both positive and negative. So take a breath, slip into the silence, reflect, resonate, respond, rest. Friends, please hold this wisdom close to your heart and soul. It is essential for transformation. Our shadows are good and necessary teachers. They are not to be avoided, denied, fled, or explained away. And they are not to be forgiven too quickly. Shadow work is essential for our transformation. There is a shadow land where we are led by our own selfishness, our own stupidity, and by living out of what Thomas Merton called the false self. And we have to work our way back out of this with brutal honesty, confessions, surrenders, forgiveness, and often by some necessary restitution or apology. By any account, it is major inner surgery, and it can feel like dying, although it also feels like immense liberation. And we need help at these times. You know, we know we are in liminal space, the space that's betwixt and between, the space that's on the threshold. And we have to stay here until we have learned something essential from it. It's no fun. It is no fun. It's filled with doubt, and it's filled with demons of every sort. But it is the dark night of God, and all transformation takes place in this kind of liminal space. And friends, the closer we get to the light, the more of our shadow we see. Thus, truly holy people are always humble people. And the reason that a mature person can be so peaceful, so accepting of self and others, that there is not much left of the hidden shadow self. These universal energies of greed and hatred and delusion try everything to make us fail, sending violent storms and beautiful temptresses and raging demons and massive armies to distract us. So meet them all with an awake and compassionate presence. And as the morning star appears in the sky, we can become a fully realized being. But this is not the end of the relationship with these energies. So with a gentle voice, you can say, "I see you. Come, let's have tea." Instead of avoiding your feelings, instead of lashing out in anger or turning on yourself with self-judgment, you are responding to life with more clarity and graciousness, kindness and ease. And the gift of this shadow boxing is in the seeing of the shadow and seeing its games in ourselves. And that in itself takes away much of the shadow's hidden power. So once we have faced our own hidden or denied self, or parts of ourselves, there isn't much to be anxious about anymore, because there is no fear of exposure. The game is over and we are free. We finally are who we are and can be who we are without disguise or fear. So blessings upon your shadow work. I hope you find something in this as you resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Before we say goodnight to our podcast and YouTube listeners, I like to share a spiritual practice each week. And this week, the spiritual practice comes from Pixie Lighthorse, who wrote a book called Gold Mining the Shadows. And here, Pixie suggests that a greater understanding of our pain will teach us what shadow work is ours to do. Pain doesn't always present as sadness or victimization. It may present as rage or anger, withdrawal, control, anxiety, depression, illness, dependency, mania, perfectionism, or other afflictions. Your face may be scowling or your eyebrows furring, or pain might not show itself at all. You may feel calm on the outside while feeling like a tornado on the inside. So Pixie says to understand what your pain really looks like, begin by observing yourself in stressful or confrontational situations. How do you react in the face of conflict, in the face of disappointment? In the face of loss? Do you tend toward resentment? Or maybe confusion? Or maybe defensiveness? Maybe you tend toward silence? Or maybe even an open display of sorrow? And as we begin to know our default settings under stress, that tells you about the nature of your shadow and can help you track it. Remember, friends, you were not born with a shadow. It was built by experiencing complex models of interactions that caused you to curb your natural impulses in order to avoid disappointing or displeasing someone close to you. And then it crystallizes in place, especially when it served to protect you with certain behaviors and outward appearances. So shadow work gets to your needs. Shadow works to get your needs met and avoid or control a situation. Being hurt results in trying to prevent it from happening again, although what often happens is we end up reenacting the circumstances. So recognizing this pattern means you will someday want to take off the mask to shift what you're painfully reliving. In conflict, what do your expressions and posture reflect? Where do you hear yourself becoming confused or childlike? You might try going to a mirror when you feel triggered to get a sense for what mask you put on without knowing it. On our spiritual path, shadow work is so essential to our transformation. I hope you find this practice and other shadow work practices helpful. Before we get into dialogue with our Crowdcast group, I want to say thank you again to our podcast and YouTube listeners. We hope that you will join us sometime in the future, live here on Crowdcast. And we remind you that love is the way and that you are love. So stay awesome and be love, and we hope to see you again soon. Thank you.